In an age full of rage and division, Mark Job shares the biblical calling to be peacemakers. Today on Bold Steps.
To be a peacemaker, you're going to have to enter into someone's pain a little bit, get outside of your world, and understand why they're feeling happy and why they're feeling sad or going through a difficult time. Blessed are the peacemakers.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Job. Mark is president of Moody Bible Institute and senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Well, we really do live in a world that's increasingly divided and contentious. And as the tensions continue heating up, we need peacemakers more than ever. And here in the program, we've been looking at the Beatitudes of Jesus. And Mark, today, you're going to underscore that much-needed characteristic of being a peacemaker.
Yeah, blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus said. And some of you find yourself in situations where there's a lot of volatility around you, relational volatility. Maybe it's towards you, or maybe you're in the middle of two fighting factions. And I think you're going to enjoy what this message has to say, because it tells us the importance, it points out the importance of what it means to be a spiritual peacemaker.
All right, well, let's get started and go ahead with today's message, The Habits of Peacemakers.
Sociologists and researchers have been studying Americans' happiness for the last 50 years. And I have good news and bad news. The good news is you can change the state of your happiness. The bad news is we are at an all-time low in our country. There has never been a time in the last 50 years where people are more unhappy than they are today. Our happiness level is just going down. And you say, well, I know, Pastor, it's because of the pandemic. Sorry, it was declining way before the pandemic. There's a problem in our nation. The more that we pursue happiness, the more that we chase after happiness, the more elusive it becomes. And so I believe that we have to stop chasing happiness the way that our culture tells us, and we need to look at what Jesus has to say about happiness. The most important message, or the most recognized historic message that Jesus preached, was a message called the Sermon on the Mount. He preached it to a group of disciples as he sat on a mount. I've been there in Israel, the place they say that it happened. And he started every sentence of this message by the word blessed. In the Greek, that word is makarios. It means happy, blissful, content. So this message that we call the Beatitudes is all about really what it means to be happy God's way. Not the world's way, but God's way. One of the sentences that I'm going to focus on today is a sentence in the middle of the message where he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. So I'm going to talk to you about the habits of peacemakers. There are some of you today that the reason that you are utterly unhappy is because you have not embraced what it means to be a peacemaker in your relationships. That you are at odds and in conflict and in disagreement and constant tension with most of the people that are around you. And it's easy for us to blame people, to say that people are ignorant, insensitive, rude, self-centered, but a lot of us have not understood or embraced what it means to be a peacemaker like Jesus said. So if you could take notes, I want you to write this down. I'm going to focus on about five habits of peacemakers. Habit number one, peacemakers empathize with people's emotions. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul is talking and he describes what it means to get along with people. He describes what it means to be a peacemaker and to live in harmony with people around us. I'm going to begin reading in verse 15 of Romans chapter 12. It says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to revenge. I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Five habits of peacemakers. Habit number one. Peacemakers empathize with people's emotions. It says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn." If you're going to be a peacemaker, if you're going to solve conflicts in your relationships, if you're going to be a peace broker in your family, you will have to develop the skill of empathy. Now, there's a difference between sympathy and empathy. Empathy is defined in the dictionary as the action of understanding, being aware of, being sensitive to, and vicariously experiencing the feelings, thoughts, and experiences of another person. The difference between empathy and sympathy has been described this way. Someone said, "Sympathy is if you walk by a big hole in the ground and see a friend down there, you see, oh, that's bad. Oh, that's really bad that you're down there." That's sympathy. Empathy is walking by, getting down into the hole with them and saying to them that you understand what they're going through and this is a terrible situation and you feel their pain. That's empathy. Let me tell you something about this. This is a biblical concept, the concept of empathy. Rejoicing with those who rejoice and mourning with those who mourn. Men, can I pick on you for a second? All the wives say amen. So let me tell you, I talk to men all the time who have a difficult time empathizing. Because as men, oftentimes they're taught, don't show emotion, be tough emotionally, and just kind of suck it up. And so when their wife comes to them brokenhearted and says, "I just can't, what's wrong, honey? I talked to this cousin, and the word she said to me and how she said it's really hurting me." And the husband goes in and says, "Well, show me your phone." Gives you your phone. "I'm going to block her right now. If there's caller ID, don't pick up. You know, next time she tells you something, this is what you need to tell her back." And you wonder why she runs to her room and cries in her pillow by herself and says, "You just made it worse." And you say, "What? I just solved the problem." No, you gave her a solution. She wasn't asking for a solution. She was asking for empathy. Empathy is, feel bad that you feel this way. I'm sorry that you're hurt. I can imagine that that was very difficult. Man, that's hard for us men to say, right? And empathizing with the emotion, because what you're telling, first of all, before I give you a solution, I understand that this is painful. Now, I know some men in this place say, "Well, Pastor, it's just God's not wired me that way. I'm just not an empathetic guy." And yet, I saw you cry at a Bears game. You see, it all depends on what the situation is. And regardless of how you are wired in your personality, if you are going to be a peacemaker, you have to engage in the ability, to empathize with people's feelings. Not just what is right or wrong, but how people are feeling in a given determined circumstance. To be a peacemaker, you're going to have to enter into someone's pain a little bit, get outside of your world, and understand why they're feeling happy and why they're feeling sad or going through a difficult time. Blessed are the peacemakers. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is to love one another. Number two, habit number two. By the way, Jesus, who was the Messiah, all God, knew all things. I'm always touched by the shortest verse in the Bible. You know what the shortest verse in the Bible is? Jesus wept. And he wept at the funeral of a good friend that he was about to resurrect. He knew that he was about to raise him from the dead. But when he saw his sisters weeping over the death of their brother, even though he knew he was going to resurrect them, he empathized with them. And the Bible says that he didn't just shed a tear, but he convulsed in weeping. He wept from a deep place as he saw people that he loved experiencing pain.
You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, and Mark will get to point number two right after a quick break. Remember, you can always find these daily messages along with other faith-building tools and resources on our website by going to boldstepsradio.org. And for even more convenient access to these messages, you'll want to subscribe to our podcast. That way you can enjoy listening to these weekly Bible lessons while you're out for a hike, hitting the gym, anywhere you go. Just open up your podcast app on your phone or mobile device, search for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe, and tap the subscribe button. When you do, consider leaving a comment and a 5-star rating and share the message you're listening to with a friend. You can also find Mark's teachings available on YouTube by subscribing to Bold Steps' YouTube channel. Discover new teaching videos on topics that really matter. Things like marriage, addiction, dealing with worry, and finding purpose. Check it out today by logging on to YouTube, searching for Bold Steps Radio and clicking the subscribe button. If it helps, the handle is youtube.com/@boldstepsradio. Now, continuing with the second point on the habits of peacemakers, here again is Mark Jobe.
Number two, peacemakers do not embrace a spirit of pride or prejudice. Verse 16 says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low positions. Do not be conceited. Live in harmony with one another. You know, sometimes we think that to get along, we have to agree on everything. But that's not true. Harmony, actually, is two different distinct sounds that actually flow together and can make a great sound together, even though they're very distinct. That's harmony. Harmony is the ability to say, I don't fully agree with you, but I have the ability to respect you as an individual, as someone created in the image of God, and so I don't have to fully agree with you to get along or work beside you. That's harmony. Harmony, the Bible says, so he's talking, by the way, not just to believers that are all Christ followers, because earlier in the passage he says, when people persecute you, this is how you are to deal with them. So these are believers and non-believers. He said, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Can I tell you something here today? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10 says, where there is strife, there is pride. Show me a place where there's a lot of strife, where there's a lot of fighting, and I'll show you someone in that equation that has a lot of pride. Hello? Because pride basically says, I'm right, they're wrong. And I want to make sure they know they're wrong. And I want to make sure that I don't have to apologize or humble myself or admit that I'm wrong. And so I'm going to go over and over the fact that they're wrong. I'm going to explain it. I'm going to build an argument. I'm going to spend whatever time I need to because I want them to say they were wrong and I was right. So I will argue. I'll spend 3-4 hours arguing my point, building up a case. And sometimes we get very good at verbal sparring just to try to bend their knee in our argument until they say uncle, and then we say, aha. Can I tell you something? Sometimes you can win the argument and lose a relationship. Because sometimes you just need to say, I understand where you're coming from. I disagree with you, but I wouldn't approach it that way. But pride can't say that. Pride has to insist on humbling the other person, on trying to get the other person to say that they were wrong. That's a spirit of pride. And here's what the Bible says. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position, and do not be conceited. You see, pride not only wants to make sure that other people know they're wrong, but pride also does not want to associate with people that they feel are beneath them. And so blessed are the peacemakers. What do peacemakers do? Peacemakers are not focused on people's social status. They don't look at people's economy. They don't judge people by their accent. They don't stereotype people by their skin color, by what side of the street they grew up on, by what side of Chicago they grew up on. They do not categorize people that way. They do not disassociate with people that they feel like, oh, you're in a category beneath me, because they are free from pride. And when they're free from pride, they don't have to elevate their esteem by only associating with people that they feel are at their level or their class. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. You know, they did a study at the University of Illinois and did it among college students. And they discovered that 10% of the students with the highest scores recorded in the survey of personal happiness, they discovered what they had in common. What they had in common was not their economic status, was not their skin color, was not what background they came from. What they had in common was this. The 10% of students that were happiest, they had strong ties to their friends and family and commitment to spending time with them. Let me say that again. They've done a lot of studies throughout our country, and they realize that, really, your happiness does not depend on the money that you make. I know some of you think that if you made double what you make right now, you would be a happy camper. You say, well, at least I'd like to try it, Pastor. I get it. But can I be honest with you? The research does not show that. They've done research on people that won the lottery and realize that the level of happiness between people that won the lottery and people that did not win the lottery, there's no significant difference. They've also done happiness studies on people that make a lot of money and people that make a lot less money, and there is no variable in the research indicating that money makes you any happier in life. The variable that does indicate that people are happier, listen, are people that are able to develop a community of friends, that are able to engage with family, that are able to work through conflict and not push people away, and that are able to establish a community of people in which they are vulnerable and open with, and they are able to hang out with and spend time together. In other words, people that learn to get along with other people are the happiest on the face of this earth. This is not just what the Bible says. This is what research out there, extra-biblical, secular research, is telling us. Happy are those that have learned the art and the power of making peace in their relationships. Peacemakers initiate reconciliation in their relationships. Notice what it tells us in verse 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. A better translation, I think, is the ESV that says, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. This is not being a people pleaser and trying to please everybody, but this is being conscious of what you do and how it affects other people. Are you with me here? There's a difference between being a people pleaser, I'm always trying to do everything so that people are happy with me, and doing things in a way that you realize what I do affects other people, and I want to honor other people and make sure that I'm not deliberately or indeliberately offending them. It says, if possible, verse 18, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Can I tell you something? Peacemakers initiate peace.
Mark will elaborate on that important point when we continue with part two of this message tomorrow on Bold Steps. In the meantime, be sure to go online and check out all the faith-building resources and opportunities we have available at boldstepsradio.org.
Well, hey, we've got a special guest here in the studio today, someone that I've known for a long time. I consider him a friend. He's pastored in the city of Chicago, former pastor of the Moody Church, currently continuing with this program called Running to Win. And that's my friend, Dr. Pastor Erwin Lutzer. And great to have you in the studio today.
So great to be with you, Mark. And let me commend you for the title of your program, Bold Steps. As I was thinking about it, it says in the book of Acts that the early apostles, when they were under persecution, they prayed for boldness. Mm. And you and I know that we're living in an era in which we need some very bold steps.
Absolutely. And you know what? You wrote a book that the title itself sort of makes you want to jump up and say yes. And it's called We Will Not Be Silenced. And our listeners know that our culture has been shifting and changing, and oftentimes Christians feel intimidated by the culture. And I think in this book, you're challenging Christians, hey, don't be silent. Stand up, be firm, be gracious, but be firm. Talk to me about that.
Well, you know, I didn't write the book, We Will Not Be Silenced, in order to reclaim the culture. That might not be possible, but I wrote it to reclaim the church. Hmm. What I tried to do is to answer the question, what does faithfulness look like in a nation that clearly has lost its way? Hmm. And so it was my intention to, discuss the cultural currents that we are up against, but at the same time to ask this question, how do we as Christians relate, and how do we stand for truth in an era in which truth oftentimes is so convoluted? And certainly we're confronted with a lot of non-truth, if I might put it that way. So that's my burden. My burden is for the church to understand its mission. And we're living in a new era, obviously. No other generation had to put up with transgenderism and all of the other issues in our culture. And so what I want Christians to be able to do is to understand the culture better and then ask the question, how does the Bible apply to it?
There you have it, Dr. Pastor Erwin Lutzer. And I just want to say that he's a good example of a man that, as long as I've known him, he's been preaching boldly but graciously the gospel of Jesus and not been silent. So thank you, brother, for your faithfulness.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Yeah, great to have both of you here today. This powerful Bold Step gift is only available this month, so don't miss out. Let us send you a copy of We Will Not Be Silenced by requesting this gift today when you give a donation of any amount to support Bold Steps. Just call us at 800-DL-MOODY to donate today. That's 800-356-6639. Or give online and request this Bold Step gift when you go to boldstepsradio.org. Or send your donation and request the book in the mail by writing to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And if you've ever given a gift to Bold Steps before, perhaps even a few times, then today is a great time to consider becoming an official part of the team as a Bold Partner. By signing up to give on a monthly basis with whatever amount you feel led to, you'll be helping create the stable support we need to continue producing and distributing these Bible teachings across the globe. Now, when you sign up to give $30 a month or more, you'll also get the Moody Publishers discount code of 50%, half off every devotional, Bible study, and kids book available at the Moody Publishers website. There are even more benefits that come with being a Bold Partner. So find out more, sign up today at boldstepsradio.org. And that brings us to the end of our program. I'm Wayne Shepherd reminding you to tune in tomorrow for part two of this much-needed lesson on the habits of peacemakers. We're finding strength and wisdom to overcome evil with good. Wednesday, here on Bold Steps with Mark Job. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.